What a wonder that any of us are here today praising your son's name. Lord, the grace of God that's been poured forth. Oh, Lord, how it's brought us here and enlightened the eyes of our understanding and quickened our heart, Lord God, and given us the reason, Lord, to live and live abundantly, God. It's your word, your all-glorious word. And Lord, help us today, God, to just take what you've already given. And you said, oh, stir up the gift that's in you. Oh, God, thank you for that wonderful spirit. And Lord, let us just be encouraged in it today, God. You've given him. And Lord, let that comfort run deep today. Let it just again encourage us this morning that, Lord, we're called, we're chosen. Lord, sure, we're peculiar, but we're made just for you. Thank you to be to the praise and the glory of your grace. May we give you all the honor, the glory, the praise, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading from the 25th verse. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Do you hear that? Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. My goodness, it's like we're in a whole different universe. Isn't that what everybody talks about today? It's all about my life and what kind of nutrition I have and what I'm drinking. And I heard about some state complaining they can't have soda pop now. I don't know what's going on. Are you okay? Everybody's here? All right, here we go. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Isn't your life more than about things? Huh? You think? Behold, the fowls of the air, and I sure love them birds, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? That means you think you can add to your life? Let me tell you something. Your days are exactly numbered. Your minutes, your seconds, everything. And why take ye thought for raiment? Huh? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. I love them lilies. I love them flowers. And just think, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, the one who had more money than anybody could ever imagine on this earth, in all his glory was not arrayed like just one of those lilies. Amen. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is, cast into the oven. What shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Huh? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I love that. Puts everything in perspective real quick, doesn't it? Amen. Sweet little message today for everybody, but especially us dads. What we have here is the answer, once again, for life. So clear, so simple, so evident. God help us, brothers. Let's not get lost in the weeds. Amen. Let's not make this thing harder than it needs to be. And we do all the time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I love how the Lord encouraged us with that. And his righteousness. See, Abraham, he sought that kingdom whose builder and maker was God. He sought that continuing forever.
But see, to us even, he adds this a little bit more so, and his righteousness. I believe there's a double portion in that. And I love, and I can't go away from the table without eating all of it. How about you? Amen? Oh, that's a glutton. You better start to be a glutton for Jesus. You got all that meal out there, and you're hearing all that word of God. Don't just say, well, I want this, and then you got to eat it all. Well, in that double portion of, and his righteousness, I tell you, let it quicken your heart a little bit. You know, that his righteousness, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about that crown that's given to Paul. And he said, you know, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, you know what that crown is? That crown, if you look up the definition, it's the exalted rank of righteousness. It's even more. It's the much the more. So see, by the grace of God, to seek this much the more. Hallelujah. Now, back to it. I said it many times to the brethren, and I'm so grateful because the Lord had to tell me, and he tells me time and time again, Jesus is your provider. Not you. Jesus is the provider of your home. And you know what? He's given you everything because he's given you his life. And his life is all the righteousness. You think about that. We've been made, he's been made for us, the righteousness of God. And we've been made that righteousness as we accept Christ Jesus. We've been made that for him. And you know what the Bible tells us? The Father loves righteousness. He does. And I love that because you know what? He made you exactly what he loves. He didn't make you what he didn't want. He made you exactly what he wanted, praise God, in the life of his son. In accepting Christ Jesus, the life of Christ now lives in me. It's wonderful. And that's the life that the Father is absolutely captivated with, adores, communicates, accepts, loves, coddles, chastens, all of these different things because he so loves his son. See, he didn't make me a nephew. He didn't, you know, no offense. He didn't make me any of these other things. He made me by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, his son. Hallelujah. I am now a son of God. And if the blood has been accepted and is upon your life, you are now a son of God. And I love that. I love that intimacy that we have. And he says, and you know what? And seek that righteousness. Grow in that righteousness. And that righteousness is the very life of Christ that's in us. Seek it. Grow in it. And by the way, the word of his grace is the way that we grow up in righteousness. Amen? Amen. Just like we're celebrating as daddies today, our children. And I remember when my babies are born. I'm so thankful to God. I remember... Don't just do it on Father's Day, but many times throughout the year, thinking about when I held that little fella in my arms and each one of them and the joy and the thanksgiving to God and, you know, thank God our Father's not like this, but what am I going to do with this? You know, don't think God says that. He knows exactly what you to do with you, but just how beautiful and wonderful. And then just as the Lord quickens us as parents is, you know, even before you had that child, you think about things for that child, about their growth and what they'll become and all of these different things that you want to nurture them. And the thing I think as a parent you find out, you don't want to make them what you want them to be. You want them to grow in, praise God, into what God gave them and gave them in their being and all of these things, but then to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why all the greatest thing we can do is commit our children to God. And how we commit our children to God is we commit our lives to God. We walk in that, praise God. That's the example. That's the encouragement that we have in this. But that's what we want to see. We want to see our children grow up. As much as I love them being babies, as much as I would say, oh, I'd like to shellack you and just make you stop at, you know, about 6 years old was great. 8 was fantastic. 11, 12, well, when we get to the teenage years, we could have skipped those. But then we rounding back up, you know, kind of into the early 20s. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it's not about an age. It's about Jesus. And I thank God for every bit of it. And I do, because you know what? All it's done for me is brought me closer to the Lord. And understanding, God, you've got to do this. That I can't do this. That it must be you, Lord. You have to be the quickening power in my home. The greatest battle that I can fight all the time is not with my mouth, not with my hands, but on my knees and raising my hands and saying, Jesus, I need you to do this. And you said you would do it. And I need you to do it in me. I need that testimony of the confidence of the Lord in me. I walk around discouraged and upset and sad all the time. What kind of a testimony is that going to be? Even when somebody's getting in my face and being ugly and whatever. And it might be sometimes a child and things of that nature. Yet they need to be corrected in that. But to stand in the love of God. I mentioned that about my sweet mom, as she'd read me the Word of God. There were times I didn't want to hear the Word of God, and I let her know. I put my fingers in my ears. I don't want to hear the Word of God. Well, you know what? She didn't change. She didn't grab my hands and pull them out and all of that. You know what she did? She kept reading the Word of God. You know what that did? That got those fingers out of the ears, and I sat there and said, what a wretch I am. That's a testimony. When you stand in the love of God, and you say, no, as for me and my house, we're going this way. Now, you're going to do these types of things. This ain't going down here. But at the same time, you know that. God chastens you. And I'm learning as a parent all the time. We grow. It's not just our kids that need to grow up. We need to grow up as parents. And we need to continue to grow on in the Lord. But this growth that he's after is to grow in righteousness. But see, the enemy, somehow he tricks us parents, and especially us dads. Somehow we think our lives are so much different than my Moses' life was, or Jacob, or, you know, any of these other fathers or whatever. And it's like, you know, there wasn't any difference. It wasn't any difference at all. You know, somehow we think that, well, that was thousands of years ago. The world has changed. Let me tell you something. His word applies now more than ever to my life and my raising my children and with my home than ever before. If anything, by the grace of God, the word applies, and especially in this scripture, more than ever. Yes, I can attest, and you can too. The complexity of the world, it's out of control. It is. Situation, circumstance, the paperwork we have, all of these different things. Do you even understand anything? I really don't. You know, we get mad at our government. You didn't read that. Well, I didn't either. You know your insurance policy? Come on, you know what I'm saying and that type of thing. It's a complex, but that's what I'm trying to tell you, and that's what the Lord keeps encouraging me. If there was ever time that a man needs Jesus, you need him today. You need him right now. That's why he said, and this is the way we receive what he has, seek the kingdom of God first. Seek ye the kingdom of God first. Don't just seek it, but seek it first. Don't let it just be, well, this is a side note and this is what we do on Sundays, but the other 6 days of the week, Lord, I've got this handled. Somehow it's going to be different here than it is on this day. It's every day. It's every moment, brothers and sisters. We need to seek ye the kingdom of God first and grow in his righteousness. Now, especially to the dads today, but this is to everybody. You think about what it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Think about what that includes. Riches, housing, food, raiment. It's all there, isn't it? Praise God. I know that it is all taken care of in the Lord. Now, I might have a different definition of what riches is than God, but I know what his definition of it is. It's his righteousness. It's being clothed, praise God, like the lily. Amen? Oh, well, but God, I need it this way. No. God says, I'm taking care of this. You know, sure, we can go out in our own way. We can go out and say, you know what, my first love is going to be Jesse making it happen. And I've walked that a couple of times, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a cost to that. And when Jesse's going to make his life happen, there's going to be leanness. There's going to be leanness in certain areas of life. And matter of fact, you know, there might be, well, this is fine here, but this little part of my life, let me tell you something, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It'll get at it. Brothers and sisters, we got to fight the battle every day. By the grace of God, and that battle is on our knees. It's praise the Lord. It's in the word of God, and it's asking the Lord, by your grace, let me stand. Don't let me be mystified by what's going on right now. Don't let me be distracted somehow that I'm going to put my confidence in man for a little bit of time here. A little bit of confidence in man will lead you a long way down a very empty road. And man, when you look into that emptiness, it's a very sad thing. We don't need to go that way. We don't need to go that way. By the grace of God, I'm telling you, I know this. It's stressful beyond trying to make it in our own way. I give you a testimony, and I'm so thankful to God. For those that knew some of the things I did, I managed a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars. And I always remember, of those that might be in business, I was out with my family, and I just learned to fly. And we were out on a little airplane trip, and we were going through West Texas and visiting some of my relatives and things. And my guys were really little at this time, and I got a phone call. And it was this banker, Christian man, that really helped me start into business. And Jim, I said, you know I'm out of town. What's wrong? It wasn't what's right. It's what's wrong. I said, oh, there's really nothing wrong. He said, you want me to tell you to get back? I said, no. I said, and he was a Christian guy. I said, I think I probably need to be praying about it now. He says, well, I don't want you to worry. But, you know, we've had a little something happen with the banks that are all behind your company and all of these things. He says, but I'm going to tell you something here. He says, I don't want you to worry because you've got 30 days, but we're calling all your lines. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. At that time, we had almost $100 million out at that time. Okay? There's a lot of money. Back in that day, that was a lot of money. I know it's kind of chump change right now. But back when I used to work, it was a lot of money. And I remember putting down the phone. Polly looked at me. I was just kind of like out of it a little bit. And then I kind of smiled. And I thought, you know what, Lord? This isn't hard for you. There wasn't something to get bent out of shape about. And brothers and sisters, I had no way to have that, to get that kind of money. That was money that was loaned to the companies. And those were things that I was managing and things of that nature. There was no way to cover that. I'd have a good enough chance to get you a tenth of that as I could get the whole bunch. But when I got back to my office about a week later and just trusting God, I went back in there and one of the men that was working in the office came to me and said, you know, there's a company on Wall Street that wants to do this, and they would like to do these types of things. And I just kind of shook my head. Within not even 2 weeks after that, that whole financing was completely taken care of and changed. Never worked on it, never tried to change it or anything of that nature. But that was just God. And that was a miracle to my business. That was a miracle to what God showed me. Honey, nothing's hard for God. I can do these things. I understand this in business, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. I thank the Lord. He didn't just minister to me when I became a minister. He ministered to me long time back. And I'd walk the faithfulness of God. I saw him with my parents. I saw him with my brothers and sisters. And I was the littlest one. And I saw all those things go forth. But somehow, some way, when I'd look at mom and she'd be praying by that bed, I said, I know that there's something to that. I know that all these things are breaking loose and mama's finding comfort right there. And I thought she was weeping and crying because it was all out of control. She was weeping and crying because she knew it's in my hand. I've got this. It's done. Hallelujah. This is not going to be something that's going to take us down. This is going to say something that's going to bring us higher. Now, you think about this. Why would I want to go on for, what could I do, 70, 80 years? I don't know. Why would I want to be seeking my own way? I'd have to be crazy. When God so abundantly, he says, look, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I've given you all grace. And I'm going to tell you something. It's exceeding abundantly above. Listen to that again. Don't let it just be a saying. It's exceeding abundantly above all ye ask or think. Come on now. This is God that said this and promised this to my life. And yet I've got big plans. You've got big plans. Put your plans in the trash. I mean it, really. Why live under what God has already provided for us? I tell you, I remember my sweet daddy testifying to my mom about the year that Jesus took him home. He couldn't believe what God had given them. And he was just thankful. Daddy never made a whole lot of money. Dad worked hard. But he was never a rich man in incomes and things like that. But he sat there and he said to Mom, he said, "Honey, I just can't believe how much the Lord has increased for us." And I know that that made him thankful in his heart, because he knew at that time that it was probably not going to be long, but if the Lord wasn't going to come for all of us, he was going to probably depart. And he was concerned about my mother. But God did it. God provided. Daddy worked with some very, very wealthy people. I worked with some very, very wealthy people. Matter of fact, there was a billionaire I used to work with. And that's when $1 billion was $1 billion, huh? Isn't that sad? You know, billionaire. That's when they're just a handful. How many? We got thousands of them now, huh? See how they print? They got bigger printers now. All right. But the one thing that was so sad with a lot of people that are wealthy, and I'm not saying all, and don't you get down on wealthy folks. Let me tell you something. They got a road to walk too. Everybody wants to get people against each other. Just look to Jesus. You'll understand. You know what people have? There's one thing in common. You got a soul. And your soul needs the Lord. And I've said it many times in working in the financial business. I met people that didn't have a dime that loved money more than people that had billions. It's the love of money. It's not how much you have. It's what has you. And we need to understand that and quit listening to man and just going to just mess us all up. And God help us to be about the things of God. Amen. But I'm telling you, for the most part, and I shouldn't say most part, it was all part. Those that had money were very poor spiritually. Even Christians that I knew. The money thing robbed them, and it robbed their family of God's best. I want to ask you something. What's it worth? What are the riches worth that cost you your marriage? What are riches worth when you spend less time with your children? What was that big house or that big mortgage payment worth with all the stress and the arguing? Amen? Come on now, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. We need to look up and say, "Lord Jesus, I need you." And you don't need to tell me the answer, because the answer is a godly home is priceless. A marriage that is happy in Jesus is the mother lode. A godly woman, the word of God says, is more precious than rubies. And a godly man in the Lord's sight is his delight. What do you want to be making happen in your life? You want God to be happy, or you want man to be happy? Isn't that a silly question? I know the answer. I know what's on your heart. Yeah, I want my father to be happy, but can I have a little? No, come on now. When you realize how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, you're going to get happy all the time. See, that's why Brother Paul said, "I know how to be abased. I know how to be down. I know how to be uplifted, abounding. I tell you what, I know how to be hungry. And then I also know how to be full. But in any state therewith, I'm learning how to just be content with Jesus." Because that's what he's called me into. I just was even saying it on Friday. Lord said, "Jesse, you're going to be sick." Okay, I'm all right. I'm sick. It's all right. That's where God wants me. Amen? That's just the way it is. And it's a little thing. I understand that. But let's not get fussy, because what's little or big to God? Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. I knew he had something for us today, see? But see, I've seen a lot of promise in many couples, brothers and sisters. But we got to fight the temptation by the grace of God to trust the Lord, to lead our homes in the way of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, quit thinking somehow I've got to live to a certain standard, or I've got to live to a particular neighborhood. I need to get focused on something. Am I feeding, and am I a spiritual encouragement to my wife, to my kids, and to my family? Bottom line, is my life pointing my home to Jesus, or is my life truly leading things away? And brothers and sisters, with what I know that I've received, not from this place, but in the message that has been preached. We're talking about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Am I leading, by the grace of God, my family to that? See, because I wanted to make sure that we really understand this. It only takes one generation to depart from the things of God. We know that. But it also just takes one generation to depart from the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That it gets to be something that's just somewhat lukewarm. That it's something, well, that's wonderful, you know, we know our Savior, we love the Lord. But the message of Jesus is passionately in love with you, the bridal truth, it's gone. Where are my steps? What am I trying to arrange in my home or my life that I think I'm making a deal with God? You'll never make a deal with God. That's not how it works. He's after all your soul and all your heart. He wants to captivate your thoughts. He's God. You may not like that, but he's God. Get it? God. God. Alpha, Omega. All right? It's it. And he said, you know what? I love you, meaning those that are born again, the blood of Jesus. I love you with a godly jealousy. And I'm a jealous God. Heard some people say, oh, well, I wouldn't want a God that's a jealous God. Let me tell you something. When you know God, you want exactly that God. I like his jealousy over me. Because you know what? You touch me, you're touching the apple of his eye. You come up against God's anointed, and I'll tell you what, you're going to come up against God. Not because I'm anything, because I know I'm nothing, and I know he's everything. But I'll tell you one thing I know, he downright loves me. Amen? And he loves you. So, one generation, so was it worth pursuing all of that worldly gain for me to starve my family spiritually? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, kids aren't stupid. And I understand that words mean things, and there's many things. Yeah, I'm not going to say many, but there are things I wish I never said. God knows that. But I'm going to tell you something. By the grace of God, your actions, your manner of life, what example was set. Words can be such an empty thing without the follow through. I can bring presence to my homes. We can have great vacations. But brothers and sisters, is my testimony engaged in my home? Huh? And if that bothers somebody in your house, let them be bothered. It's okay. Matter of fact, they'll thank you later if they don't thank you now. How many of us, by the grace of God, and I'm thankful, and it's not because I was right, because I'm never right, but I know God's right, and I know God's word is always right. But how many of us now have had our children come back and say, thank you? It'll happen. Hang in there. Let him hold you in there. But I'll tell you one thing, if you don't stand, there'll never be that thanks to God. Yeah. You know, isn't it wonderful to have our confidence in him? Isn't it wonderful? See, I just rest in him. Remember, we're runners of the race. You ever seen put them visors on that horse? Singleness of heart. See, they don't want that horse looking over here at another horse or, oh, it's looking bad. Right down the line. Right down the line. Come on now. Here we go. Brothers and sisters, we'll wrap it up. I know we want to give our kids everything. We even worry about it, don't we? But look at the last verse we read. Don't be worrying about that. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough in tomorrow. How about, let's just, you know, they say, be in the moment. You know, the only moment to be in is Jesus coming. That's the moment. And then that moment takes care of everything else because, man, you talk about seeking him and seeking his righteousness first. That's loving his appearing. We need to launch out in faith. And by the grace of God, I do in Jesus' name. Let it be today. Brothers, real men follow Jesus. They do. Real men follow Jesus. Real men pray. Real men worship. Real men praise the Lord, especially in front of their children and their wives. Real men, by the grace of God, get their children to Sunday school. I got one. Two. I'm just teasing. I'm not teasing, though. But my kids, praise God. You know what? They have a legacy. My kids have a legacy. But it's not me. It's Jesus. My kids have a heritage. Did you know that? They got a heritage. But it ain't my Italian blood. It's the blood of Jesus. Oh, know it. Know it. Why live the fool for the devil life? Why live those lies that only rob when I've already got it all? And he'll even add all of it to me. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for just being so straight up with us. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, there's no other way but your Son. Yes, it's a narrow way, but it's the only way. That wide way is just destruction. It's distraction. And what a leanness to the soul. Lord, I know you've gathered your people here today that love you because you first loved us. Help us to respond to this. Even just another little line today and another little line, another little precept, another little precept. God, that's what it is. Those steps of faith, those steps towards the truth will lead to more truth. But Lord, as we ignore and be indifferent, steps away from the truth will just accelerate as well. Because neutral we cannot be. Lord, quicken our pace for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us so. Thank you for giving us everything in your precious Son, Father. And thank you, Lord, that someday, oh, the day that's going to come, it's going to be the Lord's day. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.